Yes, it's that time of the week where we talk all things travel. And I think we're talking about New Zealand again, are we, Sally?
Wrapping it up this week.
Wrapping it up. Okay, where are we going today?
Well, we're continuing on the cruise. I think we only did day one last week from memory. I think we got to Milford Sound, which is the start of the cruise. So we'll just continue following that till we get to the as far southwest as you can get in New Zealand.
Right, and we've got some hot deals later as well.
Lovely hot deals today.
Oh, so we're in for a treat.
We are.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Last week, we just got to the start of it at Milford Sound, where I mentioned we had the bucketing rain at the right time and saw all the absolutely just amazing
That's
amount
right,
of
the waterfalls.
Yes,
you did.
So that was amazing. And then the next day, I think we did that little bit too, where we did a little walk of part of the Milford track before we headed off. So then we started heading down the coast. And I must say, all the way down, the weather wasn't as cold as I thought it would have been, but the seas were pretty lumpy, but apparently they can get huge.
Right.
Like they were talking after we disembarked, 4 metre swell.
Jeez.
I wouldn't have liked to have been going back on the return voyage.
No.
I mean, I don't get seasick, but we were just so lucky. Like, we have this lumpy weather getting down the coast a bit, but as soon as we got into a fjord, it was like they knew we were coming, the fjords and the dolphins, and suddenly the clouds parted and we had brilliant sunshine just about every time we went into a fjord.
That's wonderful.
So
you're lucky.
That was great. It didn't matter that it was dull and rainy on the, going down the coast. It was the main thing was that we saw the beautiful weather in the Sounds, which was absolutely stunning. And I think I mentioned last week too, it didn't get as cold as I thought it was going to be. They said it could have got down to like 3 or, nighttime certainly, and 9 during the day. But we had a couple of 15s and 13s and that, which we can even get here. So, I mean, admittedly, it was still only April into early May. Of course, it would obviously get a lot colder, further into winter. But it was certainly not unpleasant, I'll put it that way. The weather was quite doable, quite pleasant. And the rain was, as I said, mainly when we were not doing anything. So that worked out perfectly. That's what you want. It's a Camelot weather, they call that, don't they?
I'm not sure, but sounds good to me.
So we left Milford Sound and headed down the coast, as I said, and we went into Bligh Sound. A lot of these, of course, are named after the explorers, as you can imagine, because they did all of this. Not just, of course, the English explorers. They had French. They had all sorts of explorers looking for this great southern land of ours and New Zealand's and anything that was south of the equator at that particular time in history. And of course, we're always seeing dolphins and albatrosses. I mean, the wingspan on those albatrosses that fly were just in front of the boat, you're standing up there on the front windscreen and just looking out. And I got some, I think they were great photos anyway, of the albatrosses. And you just couldn't help but look at them. But apparently they're lazy. They don't like flapping their wings, whether it's because of the weight of them or how big their wings are. So you mainly only see them flying when there's a fair bit of wind.
Right, so they're gliding most of the time.
Yeah, they're gliding most of the time. So that was fascinating to see. And every time, as I said, we got into a sound, we had a beautiful mooring spot with just stunning views. So still, like picture-perfect still waters with incredible reflections. It was just beautiful. I was saying to someone today, it's a sort of a mini Norway, but not as many fjords as obviously Norway's got heaps, but it sort of reminded me a little bit of that, doing that part of New Zealand as well. And from after that, we kept going down sounds and we kept dropping our cray pots and getting these beautiful fresh lobsters and fishing off the back of the boat. I'd never seen them before, electric reels, and because of the depth of the water there, which is quite hugely deep. They can get these electric reels. The line goes, it just spins down. And we got some beautiful fish, blue cod, and another fish in New Zealand, which is called, I think it's Terakihi, if I'm saying it right, and another beautiful white fleshed fish. So we were spoilt for choices, of course. I mean, I know not everyone eat seafood, or if you're allergic, you can't help that. That's a shame. But for anyone that loves seafood, it was just to have it so fresh. And straight out of those pristine waters where there's nothing running into them that's polluting anything. That was just amazing.
Lovely.
So many sounds were had. A lot of kayaking was done, walking, of course, ashore. Some of the walks were a bit difficult and, I didn't do all of them because there were roots and it was muddy and slippery. And so those that were more intrepid did those. I didn't want to risk doing anything, twisting, breaking an ankle or something and being stuck down in the middle of nowhere.
Want you back in one piece. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. But no, look, it was all fantastic. And you just did whatever you felt like doing. It was just that sort of holiday. If you want to kayak, you kayaked. If only one person would go, they'd just send one of the crew out with you. You know, so it was all very, very relaxed and just a beautiful experience.
Lovely. Talking travel on 2NURFM. And Sally, we're continuing on with our Fiordland cruise. And where to next?
Right. Well, as I said to you, there are so many sounds and we actually didn't go into all of them, obviously. You couldn't, you know what I mean? So we went into the ones, I guess, that give better anchorage, mooring protection as well for when you're staying overnight. So we went, as I mentioned to you, we went to George Sound, then we went to Bligh Sound. Then we went down to Charles Sound was the next one, and there's two arms of that. So they take us up both arms, and one of them will give you a walk, and the other one was to waterfalls. Then we continued down to a sound called Thompson Sound and around a really huge island called Secretary Island, and then there was some huts in some of these areas. At one stage, there were people who lived down in these areas with their families. The sort of village is razed now. There's not much evidence left. But way back in those late 1800s, to live down there, you got nothing. And everything's so steep, even to grow any produce would have been so hard. So I don't know how they existed. Obviously, they managed a shorter period of time, yeah. I think, not for a long period of time as it would have maybe over here in the gold era. You know what I mean? It was a bit different there. But anyway, all of these sounds, and of course, the famous Doubtful Sound, which is wonderful, and there were huts in there as well. One called Dag Sound, but it's not after Fred Dag. No, it wasn't named after him. But I thought, what a funny name, Dag Sound. We still continued doing lots of fishing along the way, seeing lovely dolphins, seeing fur seals, even the little tiny dusky dolphins, which are unique to there. And they're about half the size or probably even less than half of a normal dolphin.
Oh, that'd be cute.
God, they are cute as. They almost look like seals, but they're dolphins, which was really wonderful. And then we continued down to a place where there was a creek that you could go and see, which was just beautiful. Again, this picture perfect, the reflections of rocks and ferns and, you know, just wonderful. And there was a walk you could do up there to a lake called Moose Lake. Then another one, it was the Nine Fathoms Waterfall. And I don't know why it was called, whether it's Nine Fathoms Deep where it was, maybe that was why. You wonder why some of these names come up of how they name things, don't you, over the time. And then we continued down to Dusky Sound, which is obviously where the dusky dolphins were seen. And there was a lodge that's right down this bottom part that is now owned by, I think it's like the equivalent of Parks and Wildlife, and it was established as a hunting lodge back in the day. But they reckon they haven't seen any deer there in years. But now it's still there, and it's got all these antlers all on around the walls and on the ceiling. And it's they don't know.
Maybe that's why they don't have any deer there.
I know, maybe. Now they don't know what to do with it. But a family's gone in as caretaker with 8 children.
Wow.
To look after this lodge until they decide what they're going to do with it, because it's got a full restaurant and accommodation and everything there. Whether they're going to try and make it part of tourism again or I don't know, but anyhow, it's there. Then we ended up continuing a really long channel. There was Bowen Channel and Cook Channel, of course, and Cooper Island. Lots of beautiful waterfalls through all these areas, gorgeous mooring areas. We went into one of the places we went to was Astronomer Point, and it's where the Resolution landed, and it's also where there's a plaque where it landed there in 1773, and it's also where Cook actually built a vessel from scratch there. It's amazing. And you look at it and you think, how did they do it? Because it's the land sort of starts and goes up straight away, so you don't have it. But apparently he somehow got branches and pulled them out into the water and made, a sling, if you like, for the word, for the boat to sit on. And it was there for some time building a boat called the Providence.
Where there's a will, there's a way. People are very clever.
Oh, I know. It's amazing, isn't it? So we eventually, at the end of all this, it was 8 days, we ended up at a place called Spit Island, and there's this sand spit that goes out. And it was the one really sandy beach of the whole time we were there. There was this wonderful sandy beach, except one problem, full of midges.
Oh, midges.
I have still got them on, marks on the back of my neck. They got in everywhere. Even if you had a scarf on, even if you had you know, gaiters on, they'd somehow you'd find bites on your legs and, oh.
They pack bug spray.
You get the strong, well, they don't, I mean, DEET's not good for you, but there are some sprays out there now that are strong that don't have DEET in them. But, yes, you really do need, and some people were thinking, I wish I had. I know I've gone out back and I bought one of those hats with the, you know, the net,
yes,
to protect me from the flies. I didn't think to bring that with me.
Oh,
and there
next
was a
time.
Few people packed them to protect them from the midges. And I thought, well, smart. Mm. I didn't even think of that. And we finished up, last of all, at Preservation Inlet. That was as far as we went, which is way down at the very, very bottom of Fiordland. And then we had the most wonderful, about 35, 40-minute helicopter flight out. So the next load of people get helicoptered in onto the boat, the next 18, and we get helicoptered out back to Tianao. And, oh, my God, flying over those mountains was just incredible. The scenery was superb. So it was a very special trip, as I'll put it that way. And I think anything where you're at one with nature like that and up close and personal, like even the seal colonies weren't afraid of us. They were inquisitive, you know. Of course, they're not being hunted and they're just living their life, you know, and it was just beautiful to see all the natural bird life and sea life. It was amazing. And the vessel was amazing. The chef, the crew, they couldn't have been more helpful, more friendly, but also very safety conscious all the time, assisting people, you know, in and out of boats as is necessary, you know. So, yeah, I couldn't speak highly enough of going on the Fiordland Jewel. It was a beautiful journey.
Oh, wonderful. What would you give it out of 10?
Oh, 9.5.
Nine and a half.
No, I reckon 10.5.
Wow. Okay. That good. All right. Well, thank you. We'll get to hot deals. What have you got for us today, Sally?
Okie doke. Firstly, Regent Seven Seas Cruises have got up to 45% off select sailings and suite categories for 26 and 27. A whole range of areas, whether it be Southeast Asia or East Coast of Australia, whatever. One, they've got 30% off as a Sydney to Darwin one, if you're interested in that, which is quite an interesting cruise around our coastal area. That's January next year with up to 30% off. And then there's a Darwin to Bali as well, or you could combine the two together if you wanted to, which has 35% off until sold out. Colette, who does a small group touring at the moment, have got 10% off on their small group tours to Africa. Now that sale ends 1 June and they do a whole range of explorations of both South Africa and East Africa and also to the west to Namibia, etc. So quite a nice range of programs there with 10% off. The APT Travel Group have got Travel Marvel. Their River Cruising in 26 has still got some discounts available for this year to go on a 15-day river cruise for just under $5,000 per person. So that's pretty good value for money with complimentary deposit cancellation peace of mind covers. So in other words, there's no fuel surcharges either, and they have this deposit cancellation guarantee. So that offer ends on the 17th of June unless sold out prior. Also, Trafalgar Tours, they've got a lot of, again, we're looking at insurance today, we're just talking about that offline, but they've got complimentary, what they call their gold seal protection on their 2026 departures for a limited time, booked by 31 August. So in other words, they're offering you free insurance that can protect you right up till cancellation up till departure. So that's really good value because you don't always know what's going to happen around the corner, do you?
That's right.
So, I mean, having insurance that covers you right up till the final day is great value. And also HX, our wonderful Hurtigruten, or HX Expeditions, as they call the other arm of their company, the miraculous Galapagos, which of course it is. I mean, I've been talking about New Zealand, but heavens above, that Galapagos trip again was something very, very special as well. Just retracing Darwin's steps, it was just fantastic. They've got up to 30% off for a limited time on a couple of their Galapagos cruises, which is valid until the 31st of August or until sold out. And for your solo travellers, Aurora Expedition at the moment has got no single supplements, and again until sold out, on a range of their Arctic and Antarctic cruises. Now that is a big saving for a solo traveller because it usually is quite a hefty surcharge. So if you're thinking of doing that, this would be a good time to take advantage of it.
Okay.
And there you go. That's our hot deals for today.
Wonderful. Lots of hot deals today. Thank you very much, Sally.
No worries.
And we'll catch up with you next week.
Certainly will.
To a new RFM.